Muhammad Rasulullah by Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi. Chapter 23, The Farewell Pilgrimage. Everything had come about as willed by the heavens. By Allah, the faith in one God had cleansed and illuminated the souls. The devil within had been cast away along with the vileness of the pagan past, as had the false deities been turned out of the house of God. Once again, the believers were smitten with the love of God, and their hearts were set on going around the holy sanctuary, for it was long since they had been there. The mission of the Prophet had been nearing completion. He was soon to bid farewell to his loving companions, and so Allah permitted his messenger to take a pilgrimage, and this was the first Hajj of the Prophet of Islam. The educative aspect of the pilgrimage. The reasons for the Prophet setting out from Medina for the pilgrimage were not a few. He had met the Muslims coming from far and near to teach them the observances of the faith and the rituals of Hajj, to bear witness to the truth and thus finally redeem his pledge to God, to advise them as well as to give them final instructions, to administer them an oath to follow his teachings and to trample under his feet the last vestiges of the pagan past. His pilgrimage was in truth and reality better than 1,000 sermons and lessons. It was a significant school, a mosque on the move, or an ongoing training center which imparted knowledge to the enlightened, to the unenlightened, animated the languid and indolent souls, and invested the weakened spirit with the power of faith. All this was achieved under the benevolent and affectionate care of the greatest teacher, the Prophet of God. The minutest details of the Prophet's journey have been preserved by the most trustworthy narrators, the companions of the Prophet. It was a record so authentic and detailed as never has existed any historical document of comparable genuineness, either of an emperor's itinerary or the memoirs of any saint or any scholar. We give here a brief outline of his journey undertaken by the Prophet, which is variously known as Hajjatul Wada, Hajjatul Balagh, or Hajjatul Tamam. But actually, it was all of these and much more than that, and cannot be given a single name. More than 100,000 companions went along with the Prophet of God to perform the Hajj. How was the pilgrimage performed? When the Prophet decided to go to the pilgrimage, he got a public announcement made and the people started making preparations for the journey. Large numbers came to Medina as the news spread. Even larger throngs joined the Prophet in the way until there were more people than anyone could tell. The swarming crowd of the faithful around the Prophet extended as far as the eye could see in every direction. The Prophet set out from Medina on Saturday, that is the 25th of Zulqada, after performing the four rakats of Zuhr prayer, followed by a sermon in which he explained the essentials of putting on the ihram. The Messenger of God then went ahead, raising his voice in praise of God. At your service, O God, at your service, that you have no partners, at your service, praise and grace are yours and the dominion, though thou hast no partners. The entire crowd chanted the Talbiyah, which was mentioned above, along with the Prophet. It's in Arabic, it's called Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik La Sharika Laka Labbaik, Innal Hamda Wa Ni'mata Laka Wal Mulk La Sharika Lak. Some curtailed a few words while others supplemented it with a few more in a tremor of excitement, but the Prophet did not admonish them. He kept on repeating the praise of God until he reached Araj, where he encamped. Abu Bakr and the Prophet rode on the same horse. The stage in the journey ahead was the Al-Abwa, the Wadi, that is the valley of Saraf, and then the Tawa, where he stayed during the Saturday night. It was now the 4th of Zilhijjah. The Prophet offered the morning prayers at this place and also took a bath. The caravan now bent its steps forward towards Makkah and entered the valley from its heights. It was an hour or so before noon when his glance fell on the Kaaba. He exclaimed, O God, increase the honor an estimation and deference and awe of your house. And then lifting up his head, raised his voice to say, God is great. Then he said, peace be upon you, O God. Peace is from you, O God. Cause us to live in peace. The first thing he did on entering the sanctuary was to go straight to the Kaaba. He kissed the Hajar-e Aswad, the black stone studded in the southeast corner, and then moved on to encompass the Kaaba 7 times, commencing on the right and leaving the Kaaba on the left. He went around 7 circuits thrice at a quick step and then 4 rounds at a slow pace. The Prophet was walking at a quicker step, but the paces were not long. The seamless garment in which he had wrapped himself was thrown loosely over one shoulder and the other was left bare. Each time he passed the Hajar-e Aswad, he touched it with a stick in his hand and kissed it. Thereafter, he took to the Muqam-e-Ibrahim, which is the spot of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and recited the Quranic verse, quote, take as your place of worship the place where Ibrahim stood to pray, and offer 2 rakats of prayers. Going to the Hajar-e Aswad after the prayer, he kissed it again, and then he betook himself to As-Safa from the opposite door. On reaching near As-Safa, the Prophet said, lo, As-Safa and Al-Marwa are among the indications of Allah. Unquote. I begin with what Allah began with. So he mounted it until he could see the house of God, declared God's unity and proclaimed his greatness facing the Qibla. He said, there is no God but God alone, who has no partners. To him belongs the dominion, to him praise is due. And he is omnipotent. There is no God but God, who alone has fulfilled his promise, helped his servant, and alone routed the Confederates. Unquote. The Prophet remained in Makkah from Saturday to Wednesday. On Thursday, he came to Mina along with the Muslims, performed the Zuhr and Asr prayers, and stayed there for a night. It was the night before Friday. After the sun had risen, he made for Arafat, where he set up a tent for him at Namira. The Messenger of God rested in the tent, and when the sun had passed the meridian, he ordered Qaswa to be brought. When it was saddled for him, he went down into the valley and addressed the people, wherein he explained to them the fundamental principles of Islam and struck at the roots of polytheism and ignorance. He commanded the people to treat as inviolable and sacrosanct the life, honor, and property of every man as warranted by all religions, and declared that all the usages and customs of the pagan past were trampled under his feet. The usury of the pre-Islamic days was abolished by the Prophet, although he allowed recovery of the original capital sum lent to the debtors. The Prophet dwelt in his sermon on the rights of women, threw light on the mutual obligations of the husband and wife, and bade the people to deal kindly and provide water, provide food and clothing to their spouses in a fitting manner. Thereafter, referring to the Book of God, he told his companions that if they had held it fast, they would have never fallen into error. Finally, he told them that the Day of Judgment, God would ask them about him, so what answer they would give on that day. The entire congregation replied as one man that they would testify that he had conveyed the message and fulfilled his mission. Then raising his finger towards the sky, the Prophet said, quote, O God be witness, O God be witness, O God be witness. He also asked those present to inform about it to all those who were absent. The sermon ended and the Prophet asked Bilal to give the call to prayers. After the call was over, he said the noon and the afternoon prayers, performing only 2 rakat of each. The day he delivered his sermon was Friday. The Prophet then mounted his camel and came to Muaqif, the place of standing, where he remained on the back of his camel until sunset, lamenting and beseeching and glorifying Allah. He appeared to be tormented, repeatedly raising his hands in prayers to his chest like a man bereaved and indignant, crying for his livelihood. He was heard saying, quote, O God, you hear what I say and see where I am and know what I conceal or reveal. Nothing can remain hidden from you. I am tormented, indignant, and miserable, seeking refuge with you as one sorrow-stricken and horrified. I acknowledge my sins and confess my faults. I call upon you like a beggar and cry unto you like an abased sinner. I beseech you like one who is dismayed and harassed, falling prone before you and shedding tears like one who has thrown oneself at your feet and is licking the dust. O God, cause me not to fail in supplication to you. Be kind and merciful unto me. You are the best of all those who are implored and the most generous of all the bestowers. Unquote. It was then that the prophet God sent down the revelation, this day I have perfected your religion for you and completed my favor unto you and have chosen for you as religion al-Islam. Unquote. When the disk of the sun had disappeared, the prophet took Osama up behind him and wended ahead slowly, holding the halter of his camel in a way that his head, lowered in submission to God, almost touched the saddle. The prophet was repeating the talbiyah, at your service, O Allah, at your service, unquote. And asking the people to proceed slowly and gently, he kept raising his voice in talbiyah until he came to Muzdalifah, where he ordered Bilal to give call for prayers and performed the sunset prayer before the camels were knelt down and unloaded. He recited the night prayers after the camels were disburdened and then went to take rest and slept till dawn. Having performed the dawn prayers early in the morning, the Prophet mounted on Kaswa and came to Mashar al-Haram and the sacred site in Muzdalifah, where he faced the Qibla, supplicated to Allah, and declared Allah's greatness until the morning light was clear. Then he glorified Allah before the sun had risen. He then left Muzdalifah with Fadl bin Abbas up behind him on the back of his camel, chanting the talbiyah all the way. He asked Ibn Abbas to pick up 7 small pebbles for Rami Jimar. When he came to the middle of the valley of Muhassar, he urged his camel to go fast and passed the plain quickly, for it was the place where punishment was inflicted upon the army of Abraha. The Prophet came to Medina and from there went to Jamratul Aqaba, where there he cast the pebbles after the sun had risen well and ended it with the recitation of the talbiyah. Returning to Mina, the Prophet delivered a glowing address in which he dealt with the sacredness of Yawm al-Nahr and the significance God had assigned to that day. He elucidated the honor and distinction conferred by God on Makkah over all the cities in the world and called upon the people to follow whoever guided them in accordance with the Book of God. Then, asking the people present there to learn the rites of pilgrimage from him, the Prophet urged them not to revert to the ways of the infidels, beheading one another after him. He asked those present to convey everything he had told them to those who were absent. Thereafter he said, worship your Lord, offer prayers 5 times a day, observe the fast of the months in Ramadan, obey those of you who are in authority, and you shall enter the paradise of your Lord. Unquote. The Prophet also said something to his companions on this occasion, which alluded to his valediction, and hence the pilgrimage came to be known as Hujjatul Wada. The Prophet then went to the place of sacrifice in Mina and sacrificed 63 camels with his own hands, the number of sacrificed camels being the same as the number of years he remained alive. He ordered Ali to sacrifice the remainder to make up a total of 100 camels that were sacrificed on his behalf. The sacrifice having been completed, he sent for the barber and got his head shaved and distributed his head hair among the people. Then he returned to Makkah on his mount and went around the Kaaba again. After that, he came near the well of Zamzam and drank its water without sitting down and returned to Mina on the same day. He spent the night at Mina, where he stayed until the sun had passed the meridian. Then he went to the Jamras, and starting from the first one, he went to throw pebbles on the middle Jamra and finally on the last one. The Prophet delivered 2 sermons at Mina, one on the day of sacrifice, which was mentioned earlier, and the next the day after. The prophet tarried at the place to perform the lapidations at the Jamra on the 3 days after the day of sacrifice. Thereafter, he left for Makkah. First, he made tawaf and circumambulated the Kaaba, the house of God, at dawn, and then, after taking farewell of the house, asked his companions to get ready to depart. Thereafter, he set forth for Medina. Having arrived at Ghadir Khum, the prophet addressed the people again and said, quote, "Whoever loves me should love Ali also. O God, hold him dear who is attached to Ali, and be hostile to him who bears ill will to Ali." The prophet stopped over for the night at Dhul Hulaifa. When the outskirts of Medina came in sight, he raised his voice to say, "God is great, God is great, God is great," and said that there is no God but Allah. He is one without any partners. To him belongs the dominion and the praise, and he has power over all things. We are the returning and the repenting and the submitting and the worshipping. God has fulfilled his promise and helped his bondsmen alone, routed the confederates. The prophet entered Medina in the broad daylight. The address of the prophet. The sermon delivered by the prophet on the day of sacrifice and on the second day of Tashriq are given here, as both are fitting and eloquent as well as significantly instructive for all, and are very good to read. Quote, "Your blood and your property are invaluable, like the sacredness of this day, in this month, in this city of yours. Everything pertaining to the days of paganism is wrongful, and the claims of blood vengeance belonging to the pre-Islamic days have been abolished. The first claim on the blood I remit is that of Ibn Rabi'ah al-Harith, who was suckled among the Banu Sa'ds and killed by Hudayl. The usury, that is the interest, of the days of ignorance is abolished, and the first of our usury I abolish is that of my uncle Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, for it is all abolished. Fear Allah concerning women. Verily, you have taken them under God's security and have made their persons lawful unto you by God's word. It is incumbent upon them that they must not bring into your homes anyone whom you dislike, but if they do that, then you have authority to chastise them, yet not severely. You are responsible for providing them with their food and clothing in a fitting manner. I have left among you something by which, if you hold on to, you will never go astray. What is that? It is the Book of God. And you would be asked by God about me, so what would you say?" The companions replied with one voice, "We testify that you have conveyed the message and fulfilled your mission." The prophet then raised his forefinger towards the sky and said three times, "O God, be witness." The text of the other sermon delivered by the prophet on the second day is as follows, quote, "O people, do you know in which city you are? What month and what day is this?" They replied, "This is the sacred month. The day has great sanctity and the city is the holy city." Resuming his address, the prophet said, "Your lives and your property and your honor shall remain sacred to the day of judgment, like this day, this month and this city. Behold, I take it from me that so that you may live. Be aware, do no wrong. Be aware, do no wrong. Be aware, do no wrong. It is not lawful for you to take anything from the property of a Muslim except by his consent. Every claim of blood vengeance and blood wit that was due since the days of ignorance is now abolished to the day of judgment. And the first claim of blood vengeance that I remit is that of Ibn Rabi'ah al-Harith bin Abdul Muttalib, who was suckled amongst Ibn Laith and killed by Hudayl. The usury of the pagan past is abolished, and God has commanded that the first one to be abolished is that of Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib. Time has completed the cycle to reach the same time and the same point when God created the heavens and the earth." Thereafter, he recited the Quranic verse, quote, Lo, the number of months with Allah is 12 months. By Allah's ordinance, in the day that He created the heavens and the earth, four of them are sacred. That is the right religion. So wrong not yourselves with them. Do not become infidels after me, beheading one another. The devil has despaired forever, being worshipped by those who pray, but he will create dissensions amongst you. The devil has despaired of ever being worshipped by those who pray, but he will create dissensions amongst you. Fear Allah concerning women. You have claims on your women folk and they on you. They are saddled with the obligation not to bring anyone whom you dislike. But if you suspect that they are being disobedient, instruct and withdraw from them and chastise them but lightly. You are obliged to provide them with food and clothing in a befitting manner, for you have gotten them under God's security and have the right to be their person by God's word. Whoever holds anything in trust should return it to the person who has trusted him with it. The Prophet then asked, "Have I delivered the message? Have I delivered the message?" Thereafter, he said, "Let him who is present convey it to them who is absent, for many a one to whom a message is conveyed can better enshrine it in his memory." Jazakallah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.